I would invite you to open with me to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. My sermon is on verses 1 through 3, but for the context's sake, we're going to read down to verse 11. So please give a diligent attention to the reading of the Word of God. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Thus far reading of God's holy and infallible word. Let us pray. Our great God, merciful Father, we thank you, Lord, for this portion of the Scriptures, for this Gospel of Matthew, and we ask, Lord, humbly, as we approach your throne of grace, that you would bless your word unto our hearts, that this Gospel, these words, may be encouraging, challenging, comforting, and strengthening our faith. May these words be our power in this day and throughout our days of in this earth. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I trust that most of you are familiar with this Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5, which is often called the Sermon on the Mount. It is the longest sermon preached by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is recorded in chapters 5, 6, and 7. And have this in mind as you approach these Beatitudes, that they are not a manual how to become a Christian. They are not a manual how to become a better Christian. What the Lord is telling us here is what Christian is and what he already possesses. The Beatitudes are characteristics of the true believer and what Christian life look like. And none of these Beatitudes can be produced by the natural man. They are produced by the operation of the Holy Spirit in regenerated man. So this morning, we're going to look at these three verses and particularly focus on the third verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. And this verse begs some questions. What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? What does it mean to possess the kingdom of heaven? And I hope to help you to answer these questions. I have 3 points for you this morning. The definitions of first, biblical happiness. Second, biblical poverty, and biblical kingdom of heaven. So defining biblical happiness, brothers and sisters, it's not a big secret that everybody wants to be happy. Nobody wants to be unhappy. In our text this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ defines the biblical happiness. The Lord begins here with the word blessed, or the Greek word could be also translated happy, from which we also get a Latin word, beatitude. So here in this chapter, the Lord listed 9 beatitudes, the ultimate happiness for every human. So God created for us all sorts of happiness. But only one will last forever. The true happiness that never fails. The happiness, that happiness is to be with God. That happiness is to have relationship and internal fellowship with our Lord, with your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, forever in heaven. And only God could grant you that happiness. All other sources of happiness or happiness on this earth are only temporary and momentarily. They never last. You know, the movies we love, they last only for a few hours. The trips we take, holidays, birthday parties, graduation, even the big wedding day, they only last a few hours. Maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks. The new clothes, the new shoes, new homes, new cars, you know, honeymoons. All our children grow so fast. Nico will witness that. Today is his baptism, and after 20 years, he would say, wow, time really flies. It does. Time flies. You know, parting with our friends, having new experiences, all these earthly pleasures, they last just for a short time, and time vanishes so quickly. So the psalmist says, the days of our years are 70 or 70. If by reason of strength, 80. Yet is there a strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Psalm 90:10. Our souls thirst for something bigger while we're living here. Our souls thirst for something more deeper than these short, happy moments. Something more meaningful, more intimate. Something which will last forever. The ultimate happiness that was lost in the Garden of Eden. And only God could restore that to us, back to us. And only God could provide. St. Augustine once said, Thou hast made us for Thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in You. And St. Augustine was right. The ultimate happiness is in the Lord alone. And it comes exclusively from Him. But since the time of the great fall of Adam and Eve, humanity is in competition with God. Humanity offers all kinds of happiness to compete with God in every area of life. You know, the fallen humans trick and deceive themselves and other fallen humans by promising them happiness. The fallen man reversed God's order in everything. If God defines for us what is true and ultimate happiness, the fallen man opposes it. For example, today's verse, God says that the poor in spirit are blessed, or poor in spirit are happy. But the fallen man declared that in order to be happy, you must be rich in spirit. They say, think positive of yourself. Now, there are lots of people who would say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Even some popular gospel preachers in some churches, they lie to us, saying that man is ultimately and morally good, and all God wants is to keep you happy. But the Word of God tells us that the fallen man deceived themselves, and they deceived one another. Come on. Have a happy attitude. God loves you and have a wonderful plan for you, for your life. God doesn't care about your lifestyle, about what you believe. God loves you. God wants to do for you. All He wants to do for you is to make you happy. Sin, hell, judgment. Come on, preacher. Don't traumatize people with these words and harsh doctrines. These people would say. So the world is confused. Our culture and society, they do demonstrate the total depravity of human heart. You know, even the humanist who extol humanity without any reference to God are worried in this day. This is what Frank Furetti in his book, The Spectator, commenting on the seven deadly sins, he writes, "There are no longer sinners but only addictive personalities. The sins have been transformed into behavioral problems that require treatment, not castigation. For example, take lust. Those who might once been denounced as lustful are now said to be addicted to sex and in need of therapy. Gluttons, likewise, are suffering from eating disorder. Uncontrolled anger now takes form such as road rage and calls for stress management techniques. Greed and envy have become a form of shopaholism. Even some forms of sloth have been medicalized. As for the sin of pride, this has actually been turned into virtue in our culture. Because almost all problems today are blamed on lack of self-esteem." And Frank Furetti concludes, "I'm not keen on the idea of sin, but given the choice of being powerless in the face of God or an impotent client of a therapist, I side with the church." These are words of humanists. So the world and the natural man is in his evil mission to reverse God's good order. To reverse God's good order everywhere, in every aspect of our lives. He calls himself good, but he calls God evil. He calls evil good, and good he calls evil. We live in such time and in such culture. So evil man, the wicked man, is going against God's good order. For example, take homosexuality. God created male and female, and He created them both good for marriage. But man tried to reverse that order. This evil even present in our Reformed churches. In what way, you may ask me? In a way that some people are constantly trying to reverse the gospel. The law that was fulfilled for us by Christ. These people saying and teaching that the gospel is not enough for salvation. Their call is, let's go back to the law. As if your obedience of the law of God would save you. The Apostle Paul says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:10-11. And such wicked people would interpret these verse of Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, in such a way that in order to receive God's blessing, in order to be happy, you must do become poor with your own strength, with your own effort. But the Bible says that it is God who opens our eyes to see our true spiritual poverty, our true spiritual condition. And God alone makes us acknowledge our spiritual bankruptcy and our misery before Him. God makes you to feel completely naked and poor in your spirit. So defining biblical poverty, point number two. In the verse 3 here, the Lord didn't say the strong or confident in spirit are blessed. He didn't say the humble in spirit are blessed, or the poor materially are blessed, but the poor in spirit are blessed. In one of our favorite hymns, Rock of Ages, I love the stanza number 3. It has these wonderful words to explaining what it means to be poor in spirit. Listen. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Repentance of a broken and contrite heart. Daily mourning for our sins. Our acknowledgement of total moral inability to save ourselves is the sign of being poor in spirit. When we become poor, we actually become rich. Faith in Jesus Christ alone and trusting only in His person and work, trusting His saving work on the cross, is the picture of being poor in spirit. And declaring ourselves, my Lord, all I am is evil, but You alone is good. This is being poor in spirit. And mourning like David over his sins is the sign of our poverty in spirit. as David says, "Against thee the only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Such should be our disposition. Such should be your attitude. And when you do admit your complete spiritual poverty before God, God fills you up with His righteousness. God fills up your account in heaven with Christ's unlimited righteousness. For the sake of Christ's merit, and for the sake of His holy name, when we admit and confess daily, not only once, but daily, of our spiritual bankruptcy, God brings to you much happiness. And God comforts you. You know, it sounds ridiculous to the world. How can you be happy if you always repent and cry out to God? It sounds more stressful than happy. But this is the order God established. Interestingly, God in His providence established this unique order. The more you acknowledge of your hopeless poverty of your spirit, the richer you become in God, the happier the Holy Spirit makes you. Why we become happier? Because we cast out all our heavy burden on Christ. Christ who happily takes all your burden on Him. And when we hold our sins in our hearts, when we do not confess our sins, when we do not forgive, sins in our hearts poisoning us. The unrepented sins are poison. They are destructive to our souls. But Christ's righteousness is the medicine. It is the healing ointment your poor souls, and is only constructive to you. So declare your poverty before God. Today, tomorrow, every day in your life, and become rich in Him. Rich in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you want to be happy and get rich? Rich in righteousness of Jesus Christ. Rich in holiness of your Lord. Receive the kingdom of heaven. So now we come to our final third point. Biblical kingdom of heaven. So the question is, what the Lord Jesus Christ means when that those who are poor in spirit possess the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven ultimately means life. You have kingdom of heaven, you have life. You have no kingdom of heaven, you have no life. Eternal life with the King of that kingdom. Life that each one of you long for. And having this kingdom of heaven as your inheritance means that all that King owns is now yours. Everything Christ has, it's yours by faith. And the Lord teaches us that there is no happiness outside of Christ. There is no life without Him. Same as there is no restoration without repentance. There is no justification without faith. There is no sanctification without means of grace. There is no life or happiness without King, without Kingdom of Heaven. So is this Kingdom of Heaven yours? If it's yours, then it won't be taken away. It's yours forever by God's promise. It's yours because Christ the King has truly become poor in spirit for you and me. Our Lord became so poor that He was nailed naked on the cross for you and me. Remember that. For your sins and for mine. He became so poor for us that He had nothing. And He cried on that cross, "Father, Father, why thou hast forsaken me?" Even Father left Him for your and my sake. Christ left His kingdom, a King who became slave so that He could earn you for His kingdom. And He did. He earned us for the Father by His precious blood. And we cannot unearn it. What a King we have, and what a kingdom is ours. And this King declares to you today, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the Kingdom of Heaven." And it's all yours, brothers and sisters, because of Christ the King, your Lord and Savior, and what He has done for you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that He earned us to Thee. And nothing can separate us from You, from Your love. So may this gospel reign in our hearts. And help us, Lord, to work against this wicked world, against the devil and the flesh that is trying to reverse Your good order in all things. We're called, Lord, to do Your mission. So help us in this endeavor, we ask. And pray as our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.